welcome to New Life. Would you stand with us and sing?
Jesus is calling. Lord, I come. Good morning, New Life Church. My name is Rob Bransma, and I'm just tickled green to be your host this morning. I would love to call up the kids ages 3 to 5 to come on up front, and we'll pray over you before you head off downstairs. Kids Church, grades 1 to 5, you guys get the benefit of hanging out with the adults today in the Big People Church, so you can hang tight and hang out with us, and there's some activity sheets in the box up front. You can come grab those later. So just come on down, little lights, if there is any, 3 to 5. Calling all ages 3 to 5. Where are you at? Come on down. All right, we got one. How you doing, pal? He's ready. Leaders, come on down as well. All right. All right. Well, congregation, just extend a hand as we bless these kids. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young boys and girls as they are about to go learn more about you. And Lord, we just ask that you transform their hearts with your amazing love. And Lord, bless the leaders as well. And we just thank you for them and their commitment to teaching your word to these young kids. Lord, just give them a great time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, little lights, you can head out that door there. Well, we're so happy that you're all here today. And how many of you have experienced God's love today or this weekend with this nice sunny weather? Amen. I'm sure all those with a green thumb were excited with this sunny weather in the beginning of spring to get out and start working in the gardens. If you're a guest with us here today, you can fill out a Connect card. And the Connect cards, those are the green and white cards in front of you. And you can fill those out and bring it to the info booth afterwards and get a gift. So we're just super glad that you're here with us today. If you're online as well, drop a comment and just tell us how you're doing so that we can interact with you online too. We got a bunch of announcements here this morning. We got the Journey, the New Life Connects, the Women's Conference. So we're going to start with a Journey here. So the next Journey workshop is scheduled for Saturday, March 23rd from 9:30 to 11:30. So this session will be hosted by Pastor Nathan. And together, they'll walk through some ways to think about and nurture our prayer life. So it's based on our prayer life and our faith life as well. So Journey sessions are intended to equip participants for the journey of faith, and it's open to anyone. So if you're fairly green to Christianity, and or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, you're more than welcome to join as well. We want everybody to participate in that. The sessions are held the fourth Saturday of each month, and it'll run through the end of May in room 303, which is upstairs in the upper level. So that's the fourth Saturday of each month through the end of May. And to sign up for these Journey sessions, just visit newlifecrc.ca/events. All right, New Life Connects. These are casual classes, also hosted by Pastor Nathan. And this is intended for those that are interested in baptism, profession of faith, and membership to New Life Church. And or if you just want to know about the inner workings of what happens here at New Life, you can sign up for these classes as well. They're great classes to for those who might be new to the community or new to the church, or for those who already call this church a home and haven't taken the next steps yet to become a member. These classes start on April 14th and will run for three consecutive weeks, and it will follow the Sunday service directly after the service from noon to 2 p.m., and there'll be a lunch provided as well. So if you want to connect with this, just head to the office and sign up or go online as well. The Women's Conference, I don't think Pastor Nathan's involved in this one. He's involved in the first two. He's not involved in this one. So there's one more week to register for the 2024 Women's Conference. Registration closes next week, Sunday the 24th. So this is New Life Church, Gateway Church, Trinity Church, and Living Hope. We're all teaming up to have a women's conference on April 12th and 13th, and they'll be hosted here at New Life Church. The general sessions will feature renowned author Grace Fox, and she's teaching on Psalm 23, and there will be breakout sessions that'll have crafting to make hanging baskets and learning about watercolor and that sort of thing. Men, make sure you mark down these dates and maybe get your woman signed up for these. So again, April 12th and 13th. So this is an opportunity for the women here in our community to build community with other women from different churches, and they can have lots of laughter and worship the Lord in this community. This is also a great opportunity to invite a friend to this as well, so we encourage you to invite a friend. So the cost is only $40, and that's just two green $20 bills. Or it's one green venti matcha latte with extra foam from Starbucks. So either one of those is great, so it's really cheap. So sign up at newlifecrc.ca if you want to get involved there. One more announcement as well. Some of you may recall that we had our Canadian Food Grains Bank Make a Difference auction this past week with a luncheon on Wednesday. And we are happy to announce that we have raised over $350,000 in climbing. Thank you. So that was for the Canadian Food Grains Bank Make a Difference auction in support of their Nature Positive program, which is going to help 75,000 farmers in Eastern Africa. So to all those who participated, I know there's lots of familiar faces at the auction and at the luncheon on Wednesday, so we thank you for participating in that. So we're going to take the offering here in a bit. Today's offering is for the Benevolent Fund. The fund is administered by our deacons, and they are here to help the friends and family of New Life with physical or financial needs. So this fund also supports families in our community with Christian school tuition as well. So if you or someone you know may need some extra help with Christian school tuition, our deacons are now collecting the assistance application forms for that now. So please connect with a deacon or email the church office for more information. You can give your offering electronically in the ways on the screen behind me or in the boxes up front as well during our fellowship time. So let's just have a quick prayer for the offering here. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the Benevolent Fund and the work that it does to help those in need in our community, within our church community as well. And we just thank you for the deacons and just their discipleship, and just be over them as they administer these funds to those in need. Lord, we thank you for the generous offerings that so many give each week. And we just thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start our fellowship time. So this is a three-minute time where we can kind of mingle and mix and have a conversation with those around, bringing peace of Christ to those next to us. So I encourage you to meet someone new and welcome them here. There's a couple topics of conversation you can talk about. One is you can ask what their favorite shade of green is. Is it cool green, pine green, emerald green, forest green, or army green? I like forest green. That's my favorite. And if you also see Jean Dykeshorn Hoogie here, you can wish her a happy 59th birthday. So if you happen to see her, I know there's only one of those jeans here, so if you see her, wish her a happy birthday. I'm not going to sing happy birthday. I'm not very good at singing, so I'll leave that up to you guys to wish her a happy birthday. So yes, thank you for having me. Kids Church, you guys can come and grab a activity sheet up front here, and thank you for having me. Enjoy your Sunday.
All right. Good morning. Welcome again to New Life Church. If you would take a seat, please. I just wonder if anybody has ever done any research on the correlation of weather to conversation. It seems noisier today. That's all right. Awesome. It's good to be together and fellowship with one another and specifically to come together to extend that peace of Christ to one another, right? I mean, we've come from all different circumstances and situations in our life from this past week, and we gather here together to experience God's love and extend that peace of God to one another. So let's do so also as we gather together in prayer. Let's take a moment to pray. Almighty God, we come to you to give you praise, to acknowledge who you are, who we are in your presence. God, we bow before you because you are the God of the universe and you are our Savior. And so we come before you, God, anxious to hear your voice, to hear you speak to us, to guide us, to instruct us, to encourage us, to embrace us, to engage us, God, in living for you. And so we pray for your Spirit's presence to inspire us, to draw us close to you, that in these moments, God, we may be strengthened to go into another week to live for you. God, we're deeply aware of all of the brokenness that surrounds us, whether it's perhaps even within our own lives, the misery, the confusion, the brokenness within our own lives. God, we pray for those who are struggling with health. We pray that your healing hand may be upon them, that you may encourage and comfort those who are struggling. But God, we also acknowledge that there's so much brokenness around us, violence and war and hunger and homelessness. God, we acknowledge that there are people in need, in desperate need. And so we pray, God, that you'll forgive us when we forget. Forgive us when we ignore the issues that surround us. Forgive us, God, when we attempt to just make ourselves happy. And teach us to know what it means, Father, to follow you, to know our salvation is in you, but also to take the responsibility of caring for one another. And so thank you, God, for all of the funds that have been gathered for the Canada Food Grains Bank, for alleviating hunger in Eastern Africa. Father, we know that so many people wander about in this world without home and without food, without security, without so many of the things that we enjoy. And so, God, we pray that as we go about our daily lives, that we may be mindful of that. And so, God, call us to yourself so so that we may identify ourselves as children of God, that we may go about not on our own status, but that we may live our lives humbly before you and before one another. We pray that your Spirit will empower us to live the life of joy that you give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we are finishing up our series on spiritual disciplines. We said spiritual disciplines are those practices that embody our faith, so that our faith is more than just a good idea. It's exactly the way we live. It's who we are. It's how we identify ourselves. And so we've gone through several practices, and sometimes these practices, especially when they're called disciplines, we think, oh, wow, that sounds heavy duty. That doesn't sound like any fun. Well, I'm happy to introduce to you two disciplines today that are very happy disciplines. The first one is the discipline of celebration, and you can understand that that must be a happy discipline. The second discipline that we're going to talk about first, in fact, is the discipline of confession, which you might pull up your nose and go, huh? That doesn't make sense. That can't be a happy discipline. But we're going to take a look at it and see how it leads us into joy, in fact. Because that is essentially the point of these very disciplines, both of them, as opposite as they might seem. The discipline of confession on the one hand and the discipline of celebration on the other. I want to cast them both as practices of our faith that lead us into joy. Which, of course, means that you have to ask yourself, how do I expect to find joy in my life? How do I expect to find joy? What is my path to joy that I'm thinking about? So, for instance, sometimes we think we're going to arrive at joy if we can achieve a stress-free life. But who are you really fooling? Because, well, A, stress-free probably isn't possible. And in fact, stress-free, if you mean by that that you just don't want to care in the world, is simply not going to lead to joy. God made us to care for one another, to care for ourselves, to care for creation, to care for everything around us. God made us for that. So it's not a matter of finding a stress-free life. Sometimes we think that we live life constantly seeking happiness. We're just looking for the next thing that's gonna thrill us. If only we could fill up our life with those kinds of things for happiness, we think then we'll reach, we'll be on that path for joy. But happiness doesn't equal joy. There are many times where we live our lives and there's a moment of happiness, but that doesn't mean we're joy-filled, right? Or perhaps our path to joy is to push for freedom with the expectation that as long as I get to do whatever I feel like, or as long as I'm free to do whatever I need or think I need to do, then that will be the path to joy. The problem, though, is that sometimes our path to joy, in fact, probably whatever that path to joy might be, is blocked. Blocked by the fact of sin in our lives. Now, that's a part we don't like to talk about usually. But sin blocks our path to joy. And unless we learn to deal with that sin, that path to joy will never be traversed. Sometimes we block the way to joy because we don't nurture joy. And so that's the other side of the coin, essentially. And so we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But with the discipline of confession, we attempt to clear the path for joy by dealing with the sin and the brokenness in our lives. It's what we do with our sin that sets us further down the road of either misery or further down the path of joy. Psalm 32 instructs us on that. So I'm going to read that together. Psalm 32. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." See what the psalmist has done there? He has stared down on the sin within his own life. This is a psalm of David. And David's life is well accounted for in Scripture. And we know that though David was called a man after God's own heart, he had deep sin within him. And he faces that sin, all within a psalm that ends amazingly with, "Rejoice in the Lord." In fact, the psalm begins with the word, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions." We've heard that word before. In fact, the very beginning of the psalms, in the entire book begins in Psalm 1 with, "Blessed. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord." And then in chapter 2, or in Psalm 2, the second poem, it ends with, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him," that is, in the Lord. Blessed, happy, happy is the one, joy-filled is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. Joy-filled is the one who takes refuge in the Lord. Joy-filled is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Joy-filled is the one whose sin the Lord doesn't count against them. And then, of course, we hear that all over again. Jesus himself recalling these psalms, beginning with "Blessed," when he, on the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, even those who are persecuted. Blessed, happy, joy-filled are they. Those blesseds are the way to joy, the path to joy. The path to joy is those who are poor in spirit. That seems counterintuitive to us. Blessed are those who mourn. That seems counterintuitive. How can that be a path to joy? Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Ooh, we don't even want to admit our transgressions. We don't want to talk about sin. And yet, blessed are those who are forgiven. Blessed are those whose sins are covered. Blessed are you when your sin doesn't count against you. Blessed is the one in whom there is no deceit. Because that's how we tend to deal with sin. By deceit. We deny our sin. We say, oh, nah, I didn't do that. Nah. Or we minimize sin and we say, well, it wasn't really that bad. Or we justify sin. I had to do it. What choice did I have? Or we excuse it. Oh, just let it go. But all the while, David admits, all the while, that very sin eats away at our very bones. And we're left with the only way to deal with our sin, and that is to confess it. Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That willingness to confess, that requires discipline in our lives. That willingness to confess doesn't just bubble up within us and go, oh, I have a good idea. Maybe I'll just confess my sin. It requires a discipline. It requires practicing that. Practicing confession. See, our impression is that if we're always confessing, we're just harping on the bad side of us, and we don't want to harp on the bad side of us. We want to think of ourselves as pretty good people. The unbelieving side of us, in fact, is what resists confession. We think that it's too ugly for saints like us. And yes, we are saints. We are saints because of what God has done, not because of what we have done. And so entering into joy isn't about becoming sinless. It's not finding some ways for us to be able to skirt the fact that we are yet sinners. Entering into joy is about being made righteous, and that being made righteous is by God. He accomplishes it in us by his forgiveness, which is why Psalm 32 ends then with the commands, rejoice, be glad, sing. Why? Because the forgiveness of God is the only thing that sets us free. And confession, the psalm teaches us, is the only way that we learn to live in God's gracious forgiveness. We can claim God's forgiveness, but without confession, God's forgiveness will only remain a good idea. We won't ever learn to live in the reality of that forgiveness. So what does that kind of confession look like then? Well, it might mean arranging your life so that sin no longer looks attractive. Whatever sin invades your life, It's usually by way of temptation because it looks good. So then change the way you live. Arranging your life so that it no longer looks attractive might mean confessing to someone to whom you can become accountable. To say, help me guard my heart. Help me guard against these temptations. It might mean changing your hobby because it leads to too much temptation. Or maybe it means finding help to cope in healthy ways with too much stress in your life or too much fear or too much anxiety, and for you to find healthier ways. John Ortberg, I've referred to him several times because he wrote a book on the spiritual disciplines, and with respect to confession, he suggests this kind of pattern for confessing sin. He says, confessing sin requires, first of all, a bit of self-examination. To ask yourself, who am I in this world? Who am I becoming as I live out my life, carrying on with these habits? Maybe some of them good habits, maybe some of them bad habits. Who am I? And take an honest look at yourself, and then be honest about your sin. Not dismissing it simply by saying, well, that's just who I am. But to say, no, who am I becoming? Honest self-examination. Which, Ortberg points out, may well lead us to say, well, then I'm just a loser. And so we have to examine ourselves as God sees us. Yes, as people broken in sin, and yet God loves us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That kind of love is what calls God, calls us to God. That kind of love allows us to examine ourselves to say, who am I? And to face the reality of the brokenness in our life, as well as who we are in Jesus Christ. Ortberg also suggests that some honest perception has to take place within our own lives. We need to ask ourselves, what's happening in my life right now? What's happening? Perhaps what's happening as a result of these practices that have been unexamined, that are actually blocking the path to joy. Honest perception. See your sin through the eyes of people that you have hurt. See your sin through the eyes of people who you have offended. Instead of that deception of saying, well, it wasn't that bad. Honest perception sometimes requires brutal perception, brutal honesty, for us to go, yeah, it was bad. And then we can move then beyond simply looking at ourselves and changing our attitude, developing a new feeling of what we call repentance. That kind of repentance doesn't just mean that, oh, dang it, I got caught, sorry. Maybe I'll apologize so that I can get out of this situation and then I'll carry on. Now, that's the reason why Ortberg suggests an honest self-examination, brutal honesty towards perception. How do I see my action in this world and in my life? In order to develop a new feeling of honest repentance, of sorrow, born of the actual harm, not just of the disappointment that I've been called out. A new feeling. That new feeling of repentance, and then a new feeling of promise. See, it's not just a matter of apologizing so you can get out of the situation. It's a matter of that new feeling of repentance so that you can make a new promise to say, I am going to do better. I'm going to arrange my life in such a way that this cannot happen again. Confession is accompanied by true intention to change, with the belief that Christ can transform us. There's that reality of faith again. It's more than a good idea. When we talk about, even here at New Life Church, we talk about the whole reason of our existence as a church is to touch lives with the transforming love of Jesus. But that's not just some idea. God really does transform lives. He really does transform your life, my life. And it happens when we confront our sin with true confession, gaining that new feeling of repentance, gaining that new promise of an intention to change, confident that Christ will do his work in us. And then we reach the summit of healing grace, which is what the psalmist experiences in Psalm 32, which is why he can end with such joy. Sin drags us down, but grace, God's grace, experiencing God's true grace raises us up so that more than a good idea, we can live in the reality of God's amazing forgiveness. See how the discipline of confession can lead us into that path of joy. That's what we're after. So I want to take a moment in the middle of this to offer a prayer. And in praying, invite you into a time of silent confession before our God. Let's pray together. Oh God, with thankful hearts, we acknowledge that you can renew our lives. You are that kind of God that transforms us, renews us. And so, God, we go about our daily lives and we talk about becoming better people, but a lot of times, even though we want to do things differently, a lot of times, even though we want to live more disciplined lives, God, we always talk about doing it starting tomorrow or starting next week or maybe at some other convenient time where we think that's when we'll start trying again. Father, it's not a matter of our trying because we've failed too many times. And so we pray that your Spirit will surround us, because by the power of your Spirit is how you transform us. And so help us to stop shooing the Spirit away, insisting that we got this covered. Because God, honestly, we're only trying to cover up our sin. Help us, Father, to be able to confess our sin. Lead us to that quiet place of readiness and inspire in us a willing attitude so that we may be able to welcome your renewal, your forgiveness, your grace that transforms us. Even now, we pray. as we offer our silent confessions. In the name of Jesus, amen. So a critical path to joy is this discipline of confession, of getting rid of the obstacle to joy, the sin in our lives, the ugliness, the brokenness, the self-centeredness, to confess it before God and trust in God's forgiveness to open up the path to joy. But there's also then this other side, this discipline of celebration, which is about practicing joy. If we're going to trust in God's forgiveness to lead us into the path of joy, we've got to be able to practice following that path of joy as well, implementing joy into your life even when everything else seems so wrong. See, that's the amazing part of living the Christian life, is that all of this brokenness surrounds us and invades us within our deep within our own soul, and yet we can find joy. That's the Christian life. Joy comes not because everything is settled within us. Joy comes not because everything's fixed in the world. Indeed, it's not. Joy doesn't even come because we can just forget about the cares of the world. In fact, that in itself is sin. And yet we're invited into the celebration of joy. Psalm 32 is about your sin that drives you away from joy. Psalm 34, just two poems later, is a psalm about the sin outside of us, that the trouble of the world that is an obstacle to our joy. And so Psalm 34 is given this heading. It says it's a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Oh, that's a pretty ugly way to start a poem. But you see, in 1 Samuel 21, there's this story of David fleeing from King Saul. King Saul was the king of Israel, but he became a rival to David because David rose up as a great warrior, and people started saying, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his tens of thousands, as though he was mightier and greater than King Saul, and that made King Saul tremendously jealous. And so Saul wanted to eliminate David, and David was running for his life, and he thought he could find refuge with a king called King Achish, which was later known as Abimelech, which is the reference to Psalm 34. But then David found out that he was being recognized, and people were like, hey, this is David, the guy that King Saul is after. And so David decides, I got to disguise myself. He's trying to survive. David's just trying to get through life. And so in the midst of that, this is what David writes. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then he goes on to describe what it's like to live in that path of joy, despite all of the trouble that surrounds him. David found the path of joy not in his circumstances, but in his God, who would protect him. And that God David is always going to extol. That's what he's telling himself, and that's what he's inviting us into. Glorify the Lord with me. Yes, even if you experience the same kinds of trouble that I'm experiencing, David says, I'm inviting you to glorify with me. Because that's the kind of God that God is. God is that kind of God filled with joy and glory, filled with delight. That's the whole reason that he created this world. That's the whole reason he thought it would be worth it to save this world, even at great cost, because God delights in the world. Ortberg again says, imagine if God did not create the world in delight. What if God wasn't about joy? And then Ortberg imagines that Genesis 1 would begin something like this. In the beginning, it was 9 o'clock, so God had to go to work. He filled out a requisition to separate light from darkness. He considered making stars to beautify the night and planets to fill the skies, but thought it sounded like too much work. And besides, thought God, that's not my job. So he decided to knock off early and call it a day. And he looked at what he had done and he said, that'll have to do. Is that the kind of God that you worship? It's not the kind of God that we want. It's not the kind of God we need. We have a God who is full of glory. We have a kind of God who calls out our praise every moment of the day in every single circumstance, because God is a God of delight. And then we can delight in that God and celebrate all that he has made. Now, I admit, that's easier said than done. It's much easier to stand up here and preach it than for us to go out there and live that. So we need to practice. That's why we come to church Sunday after Sunday. Not because there's going to be something new here, but because we know that unless we practice joy, we'll run out of steam. There's all kinds of things that will squelch our joy. You'll run into all kinds of discouragement even within the week. You'll run into all kinds of disappointment. You might even run into despair and say, what is the use? And then you'll come to church on Sunday and we'll sing our praise and you'll mouth the words and slowly the Holy Spirit will do its amazing work of transforming your life into joy again. Our God is good. Our God is worthy to be praised. Our God has set our feet on a path to joy. Our God is already at work. You've got to trust that. And that requires a discipline of celebrating. Sometimes we quit celebrating life. Sometimes we quit praising God altogether because, as we said, we fail to deal with the sin in our lives. It'll eat away at us to the point where we go, ah, what's the use? And we'll not only give up on the world around us, but we'll give up on ourselves. Or sometimes we settle for cynicism instead of celebration. Because we're caught in a culture that cuts down leaders and other people around us rather than trusting in the ruler of this world. Sometimes we're just plain too lazy to celebrate because it's so much easier to mope around and complain. So we need the discipline of celebration. That is, we need to meticulously implement it into our lives to be able to say, I don't feel like it, but there is joy, and I want to be on that path to joy. So here's some suggestions to joy. And we're going to end this simply in song, because that's probably the best way to encourage us along the path of joy. So the band's going to come up. And we're going to end in song today. There's a time for reflection. There's a time for confession. But there's a time also for celebration. And sometimes, in order for us to take the first steps on the path to joy, is simply to begin celebrating. Just begin. Just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to celebrate my way through this day. Perhaps the best way to celebrate is to just acknowledge a word of thanks to God. Maybe it's just a matter of, thank you, God, for waking me up and that I can get out of bed. Maybe on a day like this, it's thank you, God, for the amazing sunshine. I can't get over it, right? After 6 decades and the first sunshine of spring, man, it just invigorates our soul. Begin. Just begin. Or maybe you need to set a schedule for celebrating. Schedules aren't all bad. We so often think that, man, everything's got to be spontaneous. No, it doesn't. Because that's the whole nature of discipline. Is implementing in the schedule of your day or in the schedule of your week to say, oh, this is going to be my time for celebration. Maybe it's at the beginning of a day. Maybe it's one day in a week that you go, this is my time for celebration. Schedule it in. Make it part of your life to say, right, so that other people start going, hey, what does he always do that for on a given day? And you're like, oh. Because they want to celebrate. They want to practice living in joy. Maybe the challenge for you in terms of walking down the path of joy is to simply withdraw from the culture of complaint and melancholy. I've noticed this within myself, right? So at the end of a day, I sit down in front of the TV and I was like, oh, I want to watch a show. I like action movies. I especially like action flicks that deal with the brokenness and the evil in our lives and don't just simply gloss it over. So sometimes a movie ends and not everything winds up happily ever after. And I'm like, yeah, that's life. Except that I've noticed lately that when I watch those shows that end with, what's life anyways, that I start thinking like that. And that's dangerous. And so I've challenged myself to withdraw from some of those shows and to go, yeah, no, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that. I don't need to reinforce those kinds of despairing attitudes for life. And so I invite you, withdraw from that culture of complaint or of despair. Just pull out of it. Whether it's on social media or in watching TV or participating in conversations, just withdraw. Another way is to transform your mind. So, not just a matter of withdrawing, but saying, what can I replace it with? I've found lately, that prayer helps me to transform my mind. And so I want to be able to share some of that with you on Saturday when we have our prayer workshop. I invite you to attend that. Sign up at the office. Send an email or something. But to transform your mind, to replace that withdrawal from despair with something joy-filled. Something that helps you celebrate. Celebrate isn't always a matter of jumping up and down and saying hooray. celebration might also simply be a sense of contentment and peace in your life that says, it's all good. Life is good because God is good. There's joy in that. Or maybe you're going, yeah, I know, I've tried all those things, but I'm having a hard time following that path of joy. And then I recommend a joy mentor. Somebody in your life that can come up alongside of you and, well, quite frankly, just cheer you up. Or call you out and going, you're just being a pill. I have a friend that does that for me. He's crazy. We were driving along this fall down the freeway. That's a very serious thing, especially when you're in a very tiny car with the top down in a convertible and semis are going by that you could probably crawl underneath. It's a very serious thing. And he's singing away in the open air, which is really embarrassing when other people look at him going, what is he doing? But it reminds me that I'm living in the path of joy. And so, get a mentor. Get somebody that you go, wow, they seem to be having a good time in life. And have them walk alongside of you. Or just say, how can you be so joyful? Let them give their testimony and then go, help me with that. Call me out when I'm just ugly with my words or my attitude. Find a joy mentor. And then the other thing is to sing. To sing. Singing is kind of a funny thing because some of us don't have very good voices for singing, and yet you're called to sing even, right? I mean, so often people refer to that biblical verse that talks about making a joyful noise, and it's because singing doesn't have to be professional in order for us to lead us on the path to joy. So you're going to stand, and we're going to sing. We're going to sing for the next little bit, a couple of songs, and then I'm going to extend the blessing, and then we're going to sing again, and then you're going to go dancing out of here, I dare you, with joy, right? Because we're living on the path to joy. Amen.
To the amazing, to the unchanging.
We just heard about how confession leads us to celebration, and I think this next song just embodies that so well because of the freedom we get through the forgiveness of Christ. And it may be new to you, so if it is, just listen to the verses and hear about all that God's done for us and get pumped for the chorus. And as you get familiar, just lift your voices with us and let's sing praise to our Almighty God. The sun was darkened and the heavens thundered, and for a moment death had thought it conquered. It wasn't over till you said it's over. Your word is greater still. The perfect sacrifice, your body broken, as you restore to us what sin had stolen. Once and for all, you tore the veil wide open. Your power is stronger still. The name.
joyful noise. This week, practice joy and celebration. Know that your sins are forgiven, that Christ lives in you, that Christ is your joy. And may the blessing of God our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you in strength, with joy, and in peace. Amen.
Peace.